The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How old is old? It's One More Thing.
Armstrong and Getty.
One More Thing.
Got a couple of things for you before we get out of here. Neither Joe or I want to do this today, this podcast. Don't know why, exactly.
I'm tired.
Don't know why, exactly. Just ain't feeling it. Just don't feel like talking anymore. I don't think
you guys
I have
left it all on the field.
You've been talking for 4 hours. I get it.
I don't know.
Yeah, we played 9 innings. I'm in the clubhouse. The manager's like 10th inning starting. I'm like, what?
It reminds me, for some reason, you saying that, Katie, when I was single and childless. Thank you. What is her name? Gladys. I want to call
Gladys.
Gladys. I want to call her Lola for some reason. Lola doesn't play the harp. Thank you, Gladys, for laying the harp of me reminiscing about something. When I was single and childless, there were a few weekends where I would realize on Monday morning as I'm driving to work to do the radio show that I hadn't said a word since I left work on Friday because I hadn't interacted with another human being at all.
Wow.
And I hadn't said a word to anybody.
I don't really know what to say to that.
What percentage of the population can make that same claim? I did not interact with another human being the entire weekend, did not speak a word. It's fairly limited, I would guess, but, you know, you do you.
What would you guess?
And if you as angry hermit, hey.
I would guess that both my brothers have done it semi-regularly recently with their kids older and out of the house.
Like, not even a phone call? Like, that's bizarre to me.
Nobody talks on the phone. I don't know if that's a good example now. Back in the day.
Well, no, we're talking back in the day. Right? You had Gladys play the damn harp, then you called her Lola, and now we're in the present day. What's going on here? Somebody explain the ground rules! Have we all lost... What does Walter say in The Big Lebowski? Something about if we all lost our minds. Nobody cares about the rules anymore.
How much of an outlier do you think I am? You think I'm in the 1% of the population that has ever done that? Or
it's fewer than 5.
I'd say really? 5.
Pretty small?
Yeah. No, it's not 5. It's 1 to 1 to 2.5.
Really? I don't think it's probably good for you. I also had to do with have a really big Friday night. Maybe alone watching movies or something. And you don't feel so good on Saturday. Maybe part of Sunday. And you just don't leave the house. You order a pizza. You know, it might be an exaggeration to have not said a word to anybody. I might have said thanks to the pizza guy when he handed me the pizza, but it wouldn't have been more than a couple of words.
In this day and age, even with phones, I've done that, where you take the recovery day, you turn the phone off.
So think about this, though. The younger crowd now, with their lifestyle... Like, our producer, Sean, or whatever. I'll bet he had weekends where he never said a word to anybody. Other than through maybe a headset playing video games. Or a number of young people now that, you know, you can DoorDash or whatever. You don't have to call anybody to order food or something. I'll bet it happens more often than you think. It'd still be a small number.
It makes me sad.
All I know is we're moving more that direction than away from it, I would guess.
Which is good. You can see all the statistics on how happy and carefree young people are these days.
Yeah, I don't think I ever came out of a weekend like thinking that was a really good time or what an awesome weekend that was or something. And I'm not claiming that.
See, and I'm of the day and age of cell phones and whatnot, and it's amazing the hoops I will jump through to avoid having to talk to somebody else.
Yeah.
I'll scheduling appointments online, ordering online, all that stuff. I would much rather do that than have to call and interact with someone.
Yeah, I avoid it now, not because I don't want to talk to. If I thought I could talk to a human being, I'd call right away. I don't want to call and get your impossible to use automated phone system that takes me 20 minutes and doesn't work. I'll see if I can do it online. Yeah. And the reason it takes 20 minutes and doesn't work is because you want me to do it online because it's the cheapest thing for you. But that's a different topic.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A couple of quick things here. I just came across this. Don't usually talk about this sort of thing on this podcast. This money circulating in the U.S. is expanding rapidly. We have a money supply surge going on right now. It's the highest level in over a year. They think that will likely lead to inflation surging higher. Don't like that story.
It ought to, if the laws of monetary physics are still true, and they are.
And then this one. This is an actual survey. This isn't one of those done by, according to walkintubs.com, older people always look at who paid for the survey. A lot of times surveys are just, they're crap because of who they paid for. This is actual research done by a team of German researchers in Germany and the United States, Journal of Psychology stuff, about how where we think old age begins has been moving higher. This is not surprising at all.
Last July.
Is when you think old age began for you?
Yes, absolutely last July.
I feel
that's
like
when I screwed up my back.
Oh, really?
started shuffling like I'm 90, and it's a lot better now. But
That has a lot to do with it, because I was going to mention my mom and dad have different numbers on that, and for those reasons. My mom's physical health is not near where my dad's is, so I don't know what she would say, but she would probably say old age starts, well, I can tell you the average now is 75. If you ask a senior, when does old age begin? It's now 75. 75 is the new 65, because it used to be, not that many years ago, people said old age started at 65. Now that would seem kind of crazy, I think, for a lot of people.
Yes, for me, it started at 48. That's when you start hurting yourself, you know, just doing the most basic things like walking or something.
Yeah, I was just in the lunchroom, and one of the saleswomen who is now in her 40s was talking about, oh, 40s are not what I thought they would be. Talking about trying to work out, and she keeps getting hurt and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But so now it's 75 as opposed to 65. My dad says 80. 80 is when old age starts. But that's because he was still riding his horse up till 82. My mom has not been as physically as gifted as him and would put it a little earlier, but probably about 75.
Surprisingly, the horse was 75. What? It's an old horse joke.
Horse said, when are you going to get off of me? That is the question. When do I get to be an old age? That only makes sense, I suppose, life expectancy and health. But my mom regularly says when she was a kid, people in their 60s were considered old. You were done with life in your 60s. Nobody would have thought you played golf or rode a horse or rode bikes or vacationed or anything in your 60s. You were
starting a new career? Are you kidding?
You were just in a rocking chair in your 60s, which now, of course, seems crazy. You're the youngest among us, Katie. Any thoughts on this, or does everything over the age of 45 just seem ancient to you?
No, both my parents are in their early to mid 70s, and they're both young as can be. So I don't even think 75 is old in my perspective. And everything started hurting on me last year, and I had a stroke when I was 31. So I'm 90.
That's why we get along so well. We're all bitter.
Having a stroke at 31 would change your view of it. I didn't have any health situation really at all until I got cancer at 49, but
dude, my health went nuts at 29. A kidney problem came up out of nowhere. A quote, mutated gene. I have a hereditary condition that is a mutated gene because nobody else in my family has it. And then I stroked out in 2020. It was wild.
What caused that?
The stroke?
Yeah.
Well, it was a mixture of not taking care of myself and stress.
Okay.
Is what they said.
Oh, really? But some of it was in your control?
Yeah, I wasn't exercising at all. I was obese big time.
Were you really? I can't picture you obese at all.
210 pounds.
Were you really? This is new information. So that's why you're always talking about working out and you eat so healthy.
Yeah, I had to make a change. The doctors were like, they actually said that I dodged a bullet because I had 3 TIAs over the course of a week.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that'll get your attention, won't it?
Yeah, yeah, huge. Kind of like Michelangelo had the big shock diabetes diagnosis and had to make a complete change on his life. Eye-opening.
That's why I've been saying for a long time that I'd like to have a minor heart attack.
Oh, come on, Jack. Yeah.
I think a minor heart attack would get my attention, and I wouldn't eat donuts and stuff anymore. I don't want a major heart attack. I don't want to die. I got kids to raise. But I think a minor heart attack, just a little, hey, huh? Huh? Like flicking my ear, huh? Wake up.
Well, good luck with that plan. That's between you and the Almighty, who you'll be meeting sooner than later. It's an interesting way to approach life. Note to self, take blood pressure this afternoon.
Yes.
Yeah, it's always a good idea. One final note on brain health, because during your little screed about not having contact with any human being for an entire weekend, so much of what we are is neurologically predetermined, honestly. And if you're a neurological outsider or outlier, you just are. And you can, as I always say, you can operate within a certain narrowish lane of the way you're made. You can intentionally be more outgoing because you know it's good for you, blah, blah, blah. But you are who you are. Having said that, we were talking about handwriting and why so many states are trying to bring back handwriting in cursive. I was intrigued because there wasn't a lot of information in the article we had, and I was reading into it. And apparently, according to neuropsychologists, there's something about handwriting that involves all sorts of different parts of your brain that govern language and creativity and physical stuff and whatever. And they all have to interconnect and work together to yield handwriting. And it's really good for your brain.
Well,
it's a use it or lose it thing with your brain.
Well, I'm completely aware of that, and just the idea of that's why journaling and that sort of stuff is so important. There's something about writing down thoughts that can get them out of your head and arrange them in ways that they don't get arranged otherwise. And people have known this for centuries. And if you don't do it, you should try it. I do it every day, sometimes twice a day. But writing things down organizes them in your head or gets them out of your head. Like if you got a, you know, why do I keep thinking about this thing that's driving me nuts? Write it down a couple of times and it can go away. Trust me, I've done it I don't know how many times. But do they know that printing doesn't do the same thing as cursive? Because I print everything. I've had success with it. And that's why I just don't understand why they're bringing back cursive specifically.
I really can't imagine why it would be different.
I can't.
I don't, which doesn't mean that it's not. I just can't imagine.
One question that I don't think they've answered, because I've looked into this and read some stuff about it. They're not sure if typing works the same way as I was just talking about or not. Because you are picking specific letters and having to manipulate your fingers and everything like that.
Yeah. Well, and what about playing a musical instrument? And although you can't compel a kid to play the guitar, but you can have them write in school, and it's good for their brains.
They brought back, if you didn't hear us talking about this, they brought back cursive, I think, down 22 states, and I was just wondering why. What's the argument for it?
I'm seeing that according to the Google, cursive engages more areas of the brain than when you print.
I hope, I if that's true, it's true.
Right.
I do know, because I know some of these people, there's just a hanging on to cursive because I've always done it, I'm good at it, and my grandma did it. And that's why that drives some of it. But if it's better for you, it's better for you, and I'm fine with that.
All I know is that the environment of the beast, the human beast, is evolving at 5,000 times the speed that the beast can adapt to it.
Yeah, probably more like 500,000 times the speed, but yeah.
All right, how about 5 million times?
But the point being, yeah, what are we going to do with that?
I was hoping you'd say, yeah, how about 50 million times? Huh?
And we're not even close to how fast it's going to go as soon as AI and everything kicks in, so.
Well, we're all doomed. Doomed to insanity, misery, drug addiction, public fornication. Who knows? Nobody knows.
We wish public fornication. Maybe some babies would be born. So if I was 1% of the population that didn't talk to anybody over the weekend, that number will be 75% here in about 10 years, I think.
And the survivors will write that history, but not in cursive. Because their brains have stopped working.
That's
or something.
Too funny not to end on.
I try and make crank calls on my landline phone, but nobody talks on the phone anymore, so it just rings and rings and rings.
Oh. Nobody answers.
Nobody answers.
Is your refrigerator running?
What?
Well, I guess that's it.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets,
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon,
Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.